our next speaker is someone who I've recently become friends with and I look forward to getting to know better. You know, this beautiful area, you guys know, you've heard that myself and Miriam and our team were working on a community project in this area in the state of Michoacán, and it has so many benefits to it. So we're looking on more the southeast side of Morelia, but just to the west, has anybody been to Pátzcuaro? If not, and you're here for a little bit, make time for sure if you are here. Well, this next project, who we're going to hear from, is based more in that area. And so there's just so many positive things happening in Michoacán right now and all across Mexico and all across the world. But there's really something special happening here right now. And our next presenter is going to tell you all about his ideas and what he calls net positivity. This next discussion is called Net Positivity versus Sustainability. Please welcome Dirk Christoph to the stage.
Hello, hello.
Buenas tardes a todos, o buenos días, más bien. Ya estamos en ese momento de 12. So normally, last time I gave this talk, I gave this once before, it was in Spanish, and now I'm trying to do this in English for the first time. And I like to walk around, and I'm a bit of a weird person sometimes, so I hope you forgive me. And also, more importantly, I will probably break some paradigms today. I hope it will be appreciated, as I don't want to change what you believe is true for something worse. I would like to change what you believe is true to in regards to something better. So with that being said, I think Derek can pop up the slides. And since there's no clicker here, I'll just have to just say forward or something. So please excuse that. But until we get to that place, I wanted to say thank you to everybody for being here. Thank you for being an amazing shining light in this world. Thank you for wanting to create a better world. There is a concept I call this, I call you guys and people like us, let's say, Paradisians, because we're basically all here to create a better world, not just a better world, but ideally the ideal world, right? So if you're in here because of that, then please make yourself known. Yes. All right. Great. Then let's dive into it. So, Derek, today I'll talk about net positivity as a new paradigm, and I'll talk a bit about how that manifests in the world. But before, I thought I'd just introduce myself real quick. So my name is Dirk Christoph. This is a bit of my like work and educational history. I'm an engineer and also an MBA from the University of Munich. I worked for Siemens and BMW, like big corporate companies. I talk a bunch of languages. I founded a bunch of startups in my life, one being right now one of the largest VR companies in the field of VR training. So this is all, you know, before I had my awakening journey, let's say this way. I just was still engaged in, you know, the normal world. I wanted to be the best employee of BMW. I wanted to be the best, you know, startup founder, whatever. And the interesting thing, though, that happened was between the first startup where I worked about 85 hours a week, I was able to do the second startup working about 5 hours a week. So that helped me a lot to meditate and do yoga and care about myself and ask myself, what should I do with my time? So next one, please. This is my, that's some of the clients I used to consult with or for. This is my family, my lovely wife, Cynthia, and my lovely two kids, Max, Aurelio, Maximilian, and Victoria Elena. And just to know that I'm a human too. Like this is, you know, there's a lot more to it, obviously, but we don't have enough time for that. Anyways, so let's dive into it. Obviously, by now, we can just flow through these charts, Derek, or these slides. By now, you know, with deforestation and floodings and what supposedly is climate change and whatnot, we realize that we're not on a good trajectory as humanity, right? As a global humanity. Obviously, I think there's exceptions within that. But if you want to give me the next one. when we're seeing these pictures, obviously, when we're realizing, you know, there's a Fed printing fiat currency, when we realize there is chemtrails in the air, when we realize there is mass manipulation of the weather systems and whatnot, we realize we're not necessarily on the best trajectory. But as a solution, we're being told that we should become sustainable, right? Who here would like to be sustainable? All right. So if I succeed with my talk today, I would hope that all of you guys don't want to be sustainable anymore. And I know this is a weird thing to say, but bear with me, all right? So because sustainability has a problem, okay? And the problem with sustainability is, you want to give me what sits on this left side here, Derek? The problem with it is that it's virtually impossible to reach sustainability via trying to reduce our negative impact. There's a focus on trying to reduce our negative impact to zero, which, can you show me anybody in here that has zero negative impact in the world? I doubt it. I doubt it, even him. Does he have a phone? Does he have a car? He's not sustainable, you know? None of that is. But there is a way to get beyond sustainable, right? And I'll explain that in a second. So basically, sustainability by the paradigm of reducing our negative impact only works if we reduce 100% of all what we do to zero, and if 100% of humanity would do that. Not just the 3-5% conscious humanity might have, but all of them, all right? So next slide after this, please. So this is a quote you might probably all familiar with one of my favorite inspirations. Buckminster Fuller said once that you can never change things by fighting the existing reality. You need to create a new system or new model that replaces the old one by making the old one obsolete. So here's that new paradigm. Can you do the next one? So the new paradigm basically is called net positivity. I'll explain what that is. If you haven't, anybody here has heard about net positivity yet? Great. Awesome. Great. Cool. For the rest of you, this might be something new, hopefully, and enlightening, ideally. So next slide, please. What I'm going to show you here real quick is you could just have to click through the left side of this real quick, Derek. So there's the existing paradigm, which we call sustainability, which basically the idea of sustaining the status quo for as long as possible. That's where the root of the word comes from, to sustentare, which is Latin for drag something out, right? And you're basically trying to reduce the negative impact, ideally to zero, right? That's the idea of sustainability in a sense. And now let's look over to net positivity. And for you, Derek, there's a point where it just looks exactly the same on the lower end, so maybe stop there for a second. So what is net positivity? It's essentially the idea of creating more positive impact than you create negative impact. You realize that there's two sides of the coin. It's not just reducing negative impact, but you can actually also actively, amazingly create positive impact. So on this side, you'll see basically, on the left here, it's basically the same thing. This is why I can confidently say it's better than sustainability. It's what we call in game theory a dominant strategy, because it does everything that sustainability does. It does reduce, the impetus of net positivity is still to reduce your negative impact. No question about that. But it also realizes and appreciates that we can create a massive positive impact in the world. And many people, probably like the guy in Costa Rica, where was that? That he's probably already doing that. He just doesn't call it net positivity yet, right? Because there's a real difference between the two. And here's, so you see, once you realize that you can have positive impact, you can actually create that. And the net impact that you create between the negative and the positive, that's actually the one that you leave here in this planet, right? So can we do the next one? Slide, please. So what's the point here? The point is that's no... one more time back, please. Yep, that one. So sustainability basically tells you implicitly, you know, and hidden, it says you're the problem. You know, you're creating the problem. You're all creating the problem. And also, what you should do, and it's the only thing that you can do, is reduce your impact, right? And net positivity is exactly the other thing. It's just exactly the other side of the spectrum. It says you're the solution. You can create the solution. You are actually totally capable of creating positive change. And what you should be doing is not minimizing yourself, like become a carbon-free future, right? But actually, you should maximize the impact that you can have. Just make sure it's positive, right? So this is the core difference. This is fear. This is love. Okay, does this make any sense to anybody here? That's what I hoped. Thank you very much. So, ideally, there's a little caveat down there as well for net positivity. Instead of it costing you money to become sustainable, you should make money by becoming net positive. And I'll give you an example for how that works. All right, so this is an example. Maybe next slide, please, Eric. Right. So sustainability would normally say, normally there's better animation anyway, sorry. It would say reduce, reuse, recycle when it comes to plastic, right? That's what we heard 1,000 times. Reduce, reuse, recycle, reduce. And how many people here probably would have thought, great, yeah, it's a great idea. Sure, we should reduce the plastic. Who here knows that we only have about a recycling rate of about 10%? That means 10% of all plastic in the world actually gets recycled. Most of it just goes to a landfill sooner or later. And if you recycle it once, you just give it another chance to land in landfill. It's not working, okay? And now what does net positivity say in regards to plastic? It says eliminate more than you create, right? So he'll give you an example how that works. Next slide, please. This is a pyrolysis plant. And this is a huge pyrolysis plant. We don't really need that size. You can do this on a lot slower, smaller scale, but it's just to showcase, right? So what a pyrolysis plant does, or pyrolysis does as a process, is basically putting plastic in an anaerobe environment, the right kind of plastic. It, like you need to have a very sophisticated pyrolysis plant to be able to do most plastics, but you can start with this. And the point is, it eliminates plastic by turning it into fuel. So how does it work? It basically is an anaerobe environment. You put plastic inside, you close it off. There's no oxygen coming in, and the large hydrocarbon chains just move and move and move and break up into smaller and smaller pieces until eventually they become diesel, gasoline, paraffin, and other derivatives, other products out of the petrochemicals that they are in the form of plastic, right? So, but here's the difference. So this means that you have, first, you have garbage in the form of plastic, and then you have none of that. So you eliminated it. It's gone forever. There's no degradation over hundreds or thousands of years until it becomes microplastic, goes into the water, gives you cancer or whoever, right? It is actually eliminated. And then it turns essentially into CO2 in the end of the day. Hello? Right, so this one seems to be gone. No, is it? Hello? No, it's still there. Right on. Cool. So for that, we just have to realize as well, like, who he believes that CO2 is gas of evil and death? Very few. Very good. So because it isn't, it's the gas of life, right? This isn't what actually sustains life. And to suck it out of the atmosphere and suck it out of everywhere and create a carbon-free future is actually sure death of all living beings. So we don't want to do that. What we don't want to do instead, and let me just go back to the two bottles, please. Or forward, Derek. Yeah, so I'll give you an example for net positive business, right? So you see these two bottles. The left bottle is a conventional plastic bottle, right? You buy that plastic bottle, and you will have contributed to the creation of one more piece of plastic in the world, and you're going to feel sad inside. And then give me the text, yeah? So it says, this bottle basically has a net negative impact in the world. And then we have a net positive bottle. And as you see, they look fairly similar because they might actually be the exact same bottle. They don't have to be, but they could be. And what this bottle does, something very interesting. At the purchase of this bottle, you are kicking off a process of 10 bottles being taken out of the ecosystem and being eliminated. All right? So when that happens, that bottle basically is responsible, and you, by extension, because you bought that bottle, right? You have caused 9 less bottles in the world to exist, all right? So now, show of hands. Who would like to buy this bottle, the left one? Nobody. Good. Who would like to buy the right bottle? Everybody. Great. That's awesome. So now, but which bottle are you going to buy? Right? That depends on price. It doesn't depend just on the ideal, right? It is way better bottle, for sure, but it's not necessarily the one that you're going to buy because there's a price, right? So if this bottle costs $3 and this one costs $1, which one are going to buy this one? And maybe of you guys, since you're fairly advanced beings, you know, worked on yourself, you probably worked on your traumas inside, and you're on a journey towards consciousness, so you probably might even do that. And a lot of conscious beings, you know, in the sustainability world have actually done that, like paid 3 times the price for the same product. But I don't think that is what most people are going to do. Most people are just going to buy that one if it's cheaper. But there's something which I call the banana point, which is that what happened in Germany with organic bananas, is when the price comes down sufficiently, there's a point where basically everybody decides, let's go with the net positive bottle. It makes more sense, right? So if this one is $3, $1, most people go here. But if it's like 150, one, or 125, one, 110, one, 151, one, then people would do it already. But here's the ultimate banana point, right? The ultimate banana point is when they're worth the same. So when this one costs a dollar, this one costs a dollar, something very, very interesting happens. The left one just becomes obsolete out of nowhere. It just becomes obsolete, just like the quote by Mr. Fuller. So when you do that, you realize, well, you just have to put it to the same price. So how could we ever do that? Because this is net positive, right? Well, we make money turning into eliminating the plastic. We don't lose money doing that. We actually make money because we can sell the fuel, right? So this one actually, right one actually costs you less to produce. So you actually have a competitive advantage over the conventional bottle. This is the power of net positivity, okay? Doing this, we can actually make any product that is currently not net positive can be replaced by a product that is net positive, looks exactly the same, just is net positive, right? Using these paradigms. And it's a lot more complicated once you go to a car or an airplane or something like that, but it's, I'm still just showing the paradigm, right? So for this, we have created a consultancy. It's called Net Positive Partner. You can just go maybe to the next couple of slides. These are some of the people that are founding this. I'm working with a lot of very beautiful people that have basically that basically like this kind of idea. And we are already consulting, for instance, the city of Munich on this kind of stuff to create net positive power plants and net positive fertilizing plants and stuff like that. So it's really fun. Next slide, please. Basically, what this does, what the consulting does, it helps people to figure out how to become net positive. It actually helps them to do the actual impact, because not everybody going to have a pyrolysis plant in the back pocket. And then it also certifies. So if you have, let's say, a company that produces plastic, or you know somebody that has a company that produces plastic, they can come to us. We can help them achieve plastic positivity, and then we can certify it to them. And then they have an edge on the marketplace, right? So next. Right, so now I want to show you a little bit about the what Derek at the beginning was talking about was the net positive village. So maybe, what is a net positive village? Basically, it is combining all of those areas that make up a village, like architecture, business, agriculture, commerce, community, and there's also another one called energy up there. I want to just move until you see the entire slide. Yeah, one more. And if you combine all of those things into one location, like net positive living, net positive health, net positive ways of creating food, then you're basically creating a net positive village. That's what we're doing in Pátzcuaro. Because why? Because it's actually the city of utopia. And for some reason, that's where we got drawn to. Next slide, please. I'll just explain these concepts a little bit. We're going to start with probably net positive business. Yeah, one more back. Yeah, that's good. So the net positive village, you can imagine it like a refuge for conscious humanity, right? So it's a place where you can live with other conscious beings and together create a blueprint for a net positive society or a future human society that is already net positive, right? And we don't necessarily have to change the entire world in one night, right? We don't have to create global paradise in one day. We can just create a mini paradise, like a small one. And that, if we make that net positive, so how does net positivity relate to paradise? It's basically, if you have a closed system and you constantly improve it, hence you constantly create net positive change, it will sooner or later become ideal, right? Ideal being paradise. So you can basically imagine us coming together there, and instead of, going down the hippie route where we don't have money, instead of we're looking to create money, not through, tiny little businesses, but actually through very highly profitable, net positive businesses. We realize that net positive business is actually the solution, because the more net positive business is successful, the more money you make, the better the world gets, right? So it's actually, instead of business being bad, like we tend to think, because just 99% of all businesses in the world are bad right now, are net negative, doesn't mean that business by design is net negative. It can be made net positive. And so what we're looking to achieve here is to create an environment where we live in freedom, abundance, and net positivity. These are like the three core values of this project. And next slide, please. So I'm just going to go over these faster so you can just show all the text. That's great. So basically what I just said, net positive business basically means that we realize that abundance is actually what we should be aiming for. We shouldn't be aiming for self-sufficiency. I'll give you a better concept, self-abundance, right? We shouldn't be aiming, We shouldn't be aiming for, this is just, we've been programmed to think that sustainability is the answer. It isn't. We shouldn't become auto-sustainable. We should become auto-abundant, right? And this is the real solution to it. And by becoming actually really good at business and net positive business, we can attract all the funds, all the people, all the, we can actually model for the rest of humanity how a future humanity that is just making the previous one obsolete, how we live. You know, we live in a beautiful house surrounded by a food forest garden, and we run an amazing business, or we have time to laugh and to come together and to dance and to do cool things, to travel, then we're going to inspire other people. We're not going to inspire them by living in a hut out of, garbage somewhere because we just want to, back to the Stone Age or something. Nobody's going to follow us there, I believe, Sorry if you are doing that. Don't want to step on your toes or anything. So abundance is a key. Next slide, please. Agriculture, I know we had talked about this, so I don't really want to go too deep into this, but basically, regenerative agriculture is a thing. Centropic agroforestry is a thing. It's a net positive practice. You create food while you're actually enhancing the ecosystem. So you're enhancing your own health because you're eating healthy food, nutritious food, right? That's a net positive practice. Next slide, please. Net positive commerce. Oops. There you go. Net positive commerce basically would mean, as we start creating these projects and we turn our projects net positive, so we make net positive products, we should have a place where we can come together and basically commerce with these, like buy and sell net positive goods and services so that you can have a net positive lifestyle. Because right now, if you buy something off Amazon, you're not really causing the world to be better than it was before, right? But if we had a marketplace where the products would be first and foremost products that already are probably to a large extent very positive. There's a difference between net positive and positive, by the way. And we help the other projects to actually easily become net positive, then we can create a lifestyle where we literally, through our existence and through our consumption, we actually improve the world. Let that sink in. Because you thought that it's consumption is evil, probably, like I used to think, like that's not true. Is whether the impact of your consumption is positive or negative that makes it true or not, right? Good. Yes. If you have realized that, then yes, please, I clap to you because that's awesome. That's a great realization. So for the community, you realize that we basically, most people here, as I said at the beginning, you guys are Paradisians. You're the guys to lead the way towards the ideal world. That's what your responsibility is. That's what my responsibility is, I feel. Don't have to take it on if you don't want to. I don't want to force anybody to create paradise. But if you were to join forces, if we all were to join forces and we realized, if we worked together on the questions, how do we get to the ideal versus how do we escape the thing that's not working, then we're actually joining forces to create abundance together, to create beauty together, and we're creating something which is a uniting paradigm. Next slide, please. Yes. Next slide, please. So one of the key pieces here would be technologies like pyrolysis, like biofermentation that can turn waste, quote unquote, there's not real a thing such as waste. We just combine healthy, useful resources into piles of things that cannot be used anymore. And then we call it waste. But there's technologies such as these inside of the village that help us to become plastic positive, that help us to become climate positive, because climate also, just to realize, there is two parts to climate, right? There is a non-human made part to climate, which is the sun is just hotter than it used to be, and we get more energy down here. And this is why the entire solar system has been heating up, not just this planet. And then, the second part to it is that we actually do what I call ecocide. I mean, with chemical farming, with pesticides to our soils, with weather engineering, with you know, that kind of stuff, we're actually actively looking to kill the planet. So if we stop that and we would, instead of that, engage in net positive practices, regenerating the soil, regenerating the earth, we would realize that actually to become climate positive, the main thing that we need to do is to regenerate the soil's capacity to retain water. That's actually what fires the second water cycle, the one that we learned in primary school with, you know, these clouds and evaporation, condensation. That is actually what drives local climate. But so anyways, the point is we put these technologies in such villages, right? Next slide, please. And then there's a way to create net positive architecture as well. So we just saw, you know, a bunch of really cool examples of what that could be. But also we need to realize, and this might break your mind again, but, you know, concrete is not really that evil. First of all, concrete is releasing CO2 in the atmosphere, so that's not a bad thing necessarily. But even if you were to think that CO2 in the atmosphere is a bad thing, concrete can be made climate positive by saying, all right, I'm going to put so much CO2 out, but I'm also going to plant so many trees or sequestrate so and so much CO2 more than I put out, hence I'm net positive, right? So you can actually, if concrete were so evil, we would have been dead multiple times by now because the world is full of that stuff. Anyway, so we have created a net positive by design. It's actually fairly concrete-free building system that's called Refugico. Not really have it in the slides yet, but if you watch that presentation, there's a presentation, like an hour-long presentation on this website, you can actually find out more about the Net Positive Village. So I'm just going to move forward to this because I'm a bit short on time.
Next slide, please.
Next slide, please. So, yeah, this one is the most important slides of all, probably. So you can just show it all. Who are we, you know? I do not identify with this bio-holographic meat suit anymore. So, and probably neither do you. So what we should be doing is to realize that we are all basically here to create the ideal world, right? And there is people from all walks of life. There's people that are lawyers, that are teachers, that are educators, that are healers. There are warriors amongst us. There's all kinds of people. And basically what we are conscious humanity, right? And we come together and we create a system that instead of being degenerative is actually beyond regenerative. It's is positive in all of its ways. It just makes the world prosper and become abundant where we are, right? And basically, if you can imagine you joining forces and you all aligning on one common goal, this is one of the key problems that the conscious community has been facing, is that we all are so individual snowflakes that we, you know, we do all the individual projects, but we don't come together. We're not a big organism and the cell. We're just a bunch of cells in many regards. And I think this is the time now, and this is why we have these kinds of events. And shout out to Derek and all the team for this amazing event. Do this. Shout out. this is the time that we actually come together. We learn from each other and we can unite. We can actually become a bigger entity, which is the organism made out of a bunch of cells. All right. And this is what we call the Paradise Syndicate. All right. Syndicate being a union of people that all want the same thing. Next slide, please. So this is a nice David Icke quote that might resonate with you guys if you haven't read it yet. He said that a man, and he doesn't mean man in man, woman, this kind of way. It's just all of us, right? Cannot change the world. A single person cannot change the world. But a single person is able to spread the message that will be able to change the world. And I hope some of what I just said resonated with you guys. And next slide, please. Yeah, one more slide. Like, not the end of the slide, so that you show everything. So if you want to know more about this stuff, there's a netpositivevillage.com. You can check that out. There's a presentation on that if you're interested in, you know, working with us. You know, there's or actually, if you're interested in joining us, you know, and in all of these projects, not just in the Paradise Syndicate. This is a collaborative effort. It's not just, you know, us and we are creating paradise and you guys have to consume it. It's like we all have to come together to create it because we all have pieces of the puzzle. So what I would like everybody to do, if you guys resonated with what I just showed, is please join the Paradise Syndicate. All right, because you're already in it, you know, you're already doing this stuff, but you're not yet under one roof where we can all realize that we're doing it and we can create more connections amongst each other and help each other to achieve greatness in this lifetime. So if you want to do that, then go to paradisesyndicate.com, sign up there. There's a network we're just creating, basically kind of like a social network for conscious humanity, where we can all come together and share each other's knowledge and also learn from each other, and more importantly, help each other to become highly abundant, because that's what we are here to be. All right. So thank you for your attention. And if there's any questions, I have 44 seconds to answer them. Is there any questions? Do you guys do questions here? I'm not sure. Derek, is there questions? I mean, there's one. Because we have lunch coming after this, right? So if people want to stay and have any questions, I'm happy to attend to questions. Just don't know how that gentleman would, I'll give you the mic.
Thank you. In the process of transforming plastic into fuel, what type of energy do you use?
That is a very good question. And as an engineer, I'll tell you, the plastic that you are converting, once you did it once, that circle, has by far enough energy to power the process for the next cycle, right? So you're doing the first cycle. The very first cycle, you need to add any heat source, right? But then what you're doing is you're converting all that plastic into its other form, which is diesel, gasoline, paraffin. These are all fuels. So you can actually take those fuels and power the cycle for the next run, right? Because there's plenty of energy inside of that plastic. We're just not using it. Right on. Any other questions?
We don't have time for more questions, but I do want to thank you, Dirk, for giving an excellent presentation, and thank you for all the cool work that you're doing in the world.
Right on.
Are you sick of being told you will own nothing and be happy?
Are you sick of being told how to live your life by the mainstream media?
Exactly what people think, and this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
Are you exhausted with the truth community focusing only on the problems?
Are you ready to do something about it?
Let's take action together. Join the Freedom Cell Network in January 2023 as we return with the Greater Reset for co-creation.
The Greater Reset is a 5-day in-person and online gathering where solutions-focused speakers and organizations share practical steps for individual and collective liberation.
This year, we'll even hear experiences from real communities on the ground across multiple continents.
The Greater Reset 4 will focus on activating 5 focus areas over 5 days.
January 18th, liberate your mind, body, and soul.
January 19th, permaculture and food independence.
January 20th, agorism and parallel networks.
January 21st, take back our tech.
January 22nd, building free and conscious communities.
This is our time to co-create the world we want for 2030 and beyond.
Join us as we lay the foundation for the next stage of a free humanity.
Join us from January 18th to the 22nd, 2023, as we gather online, in person in Central Texas and Morelia, Mexico.
Join us for the Greater Reset 4, co-creation.
View the full speakers list and organize your local activation hub at thegreaterreset.org.